Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program for its editorial content. Statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
The Consumer Law Hour is brought to you by Farrah & Farrah.
The comments and opinions expressed on this radio program do not constitute legal advice and do not create an attorney-client relationship with you. If you have a legal problem, a formal consultation will be needed outside the confines of this radio program.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farrah on News 104.5 WOKV.
Welcome back. A very happy Saturday to you. You are listening to the Consumer Law Hour right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Eddie and Chuck here in the studio with me. My name is Tim Tompkins. The show is produced by Scott Kushner. Phone lines are open. 904-340-1045. 904-340-1045. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, Tim. Yeah, keep those phone lines open, Scott. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. We had a busy show last week.
Yeah, I got a busy show, a lot of phone calls, and we got them all taken care of. There was one person we could not get in touch with last on Monday, but did get in touch with everybody else and hopefully got all those issues resolved. But today we're going to start off with talking about, you know, gun violence. It's amazing. You hear about, you turn on the news, that's the first thing they talk about. Each station really concentrates on telling us about how many people were shot or killed here in our city. But, if you look at it from a nationwide basis, 35,000 people, over 35,000 people a year die from gun violence in this country. That's like being in a war. 35,000.
Than by terrorists.
Yeah, more than, the Vietnam War, 50,000 soldiers died over how many years? This is every year over 35,000 people die from gun violence. And the same amount die in car accidents over the period of the year also. Mm-hmm. So you got gun violence equal to car accidents. I'm not here just to throw out statistics or anything. To me, it's just, I'm just amazed by the number of, by the numbers.
Yeah, it's a big amount. Number.
It's a big, huge number. It's like you're in a war.
I wonder how many of those are accidental.
Yeah, I think most of them are probably.
It just says gun violence. This is from the Center for Disease Control. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they define gun violence. I don't know if this is gun violence. I don't know if they consider, mistakes, people dropping a gun or, although that's self-inflicted, some of it, gun violence maybe falls into that category. But the top 10 states that have the most gun violence, first of all, is Alaska, which has 23 per 100,000. Alaska, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Montana, Missouri, New Mexico, Arkansas, and South Carolina are the top 10 states with gun violence. Florida, thankfully, is not in the top 10. I don't know where it falls, but I think Massachusetts is probably the last. But anyway, it's just a lot of people. Whatever. Not a good thing, no matter how you look at it or what side you're on. Anyway.
It seems like every day in the paper here.
We had that quadruple
shooting last week.
Yeah, that's like a gang style.
Yeah.
It's almost like.
We were calling it groups.
Is it groups?
But essentially, it's because they can't confirm whether or not it was like,
what do you mean,
rival gangs, or whether or not it was four different gangs, or whether or not they happened to be in gangs. It's difficult to quantify that, but gang violence nonetheless, regardless of the word used for it.
Mm. Okay. Last month in St. Petersburg, somebody was vaping and the e-cigarette blew up, burned the house down. The way they knew that the e-cigarette or the lithium battery malfunctioned or it failed was because when they did an autopsy, they found that
substances.
The mouthpiece or the part of the e-cigarette was in his brain. They found it in his brain. So that's how they sort of deducted that the e-cigarette exploded and that it killed him and it started this house fire. But, lithium batteries, they don't really fail that often. But the problem with the e-cigarette is when you're using it right next to your body. This is not a lithium battery that's in a cell phone, maybe somewhere else.
It's in your mouth.
in your mouth. Exactly. So it's almost
like these products came onto the market so quickly, mm-hmm. There was no R&D. I mean, the R&D is happening right now in real life with consumers being, the lab.
And so,
is it just me, or did these things just kind of hit the market like overnight?
Well, yeah. they came around about 6 or 7 years ago, and it took people a little while to really start going from regular tobacco to e-cigs. They've been around for a minute, but they've been around. The technology was there before when it came to vaping in terms of other things.
Yeah.
So it's the same technology.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, but there's a lot. They're prevalent. They're everywhere now. You see them.
They are.
If you go to the convenience stores, there's more than them, more e-cigarettes than regular cigarettes.
Now there's thousands.
Yeah, there's thousands.
Yeah, we get calls on exploding e-cigarettes.
That's
all the
wild.
Time.
So
do you track the brands by chance?
Now, really, this one was, I couldn't tell the name of this one. I mean, they all have lithium batteries, so they're all susceptible to this problem. Mm-hmm. It's a lithium battery issue, apparently. So anyway, moving on, tires, we've talked about, everybody talks about tires and the fact that you got to change your tires and so forth. But, tires have a shelf life. And according to the statistics and what the experts are saying, that your tires should not be more than 6 years old. Some people say you can stretch them out to 10, but 6 years is generally probably, if you want to be really safe, you don't want to have them for over 6 years. And because even though they have the full tread, it doesn't mean that they're still safe. And because they're 10, they're rubber, and rubber dries out, it deteriorates, it leads to tread separation. So that's all a function of age. It has nothing to do with use. So they could be sitting on the shelf for 6 years, and they're still probably not safe to put on your car. And the way to tell is look at the DOT number of your vehicle. So for instance, if the DOT number, the last four digits of the DOT number, for instance, if the last four digits of the your DOT number is 4809, that means that the tire was manufactured the 48th week of 2009. So that's how you're going to tell how old the tires are. And again, it's the last four digits of your DOT number. And it's always good to check, even when you're buying new tires, to maybe check the last four digits the DOT number. Because let's say you go out and buy tires, can be expensive. So you go there and you go, wait, man, they look brand new because you're pulling them off the shelf. But how do you know they haven't had them for a couple of years? And so you're getting kind of cheated out of 2 years of usage because, they can't last that long.
Yeah.
Now that your tire is going to last 6 years. Maybe some people who don't do a lot of driving, they would. But still, you want to probably get the newest tire you can when you purchase a tire. So again, the last four digits
it's important.
The DOT will tell you that.
Important. They could be sitting in a hot warehouse for years,
Or for
because even, there's a backlog.
Yeah. I wonder if there are certain tire shops that are more susceptible to doing that to consumers.
Well, it depends on, I guess,
like
the inventory.
Ones that
the inventories. Do they have the, or are they buying these old tires off the secondary market and selling them as new because they haven't been on the, they're new. They haven't been used. So maybe they're buying, maybe after a certain period of time, these companies sell the year old ones out.
Yeah, reduce, and then they resell them.
And have a resale market. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But, a lot of people always, we get calls at the office about asking whether we should get paid commuting to and from work. I mean, if I'm driving to work and back, do I get paid for that? And, under the Fair Labor Standards Act, it's a federal law, The general rule is you don't get paid for routine commuting to and from work, no matter the distance. So even if you're driving, I know a lady, believe it or not, yes, it's true, a paralegal here in Jacksonville that drives from Melbourne, Florida to Jacksonville every day to come to work. And no matter how long that distance is, it's probably over a two-hour drive. She does not get paid for that commute. Now, if her employer asks her to do something for work, you know, stop by and pick up something at Home Depot or Office Depot or do something work-related, that would be compensable.
Now, you said routine there, so I was thinking, what if the office moved? You know, and all of a sudden that drive became 2 hours longer for the week.
I think that's routine. I think that's I think you're stuck with that. Yeah. I mean, they can move their office and you've got to either move closer or just take the longer commute. Now, if the employer gives you a vehicle, again, that's not compensable. So even if he tells you to run errands for work, if he gives you the vehicle, that's not compensable under the Fair Labor Standards Act.
So like a company-owned vehicle.
Yeah, it gives you a company vehicle. I mean, you can't get...
But you have to be actually doing something to further the business.
Well, he's giving you a company vehicle, and he's paying for it. He's paying for all the maintenance and everything.
Then you're compensated?
You're not compensated.
You're not, yeah. Unless you're doing an errand or something for them.
Now, if he gives you a company vehicle, like a tractor trailer or something, that's different. You know, it's very unique. Or like a big cement truck. You can't drive back. You know, that's not something you drive back and forth to work.
Yeah, I'm not taking that to the grocery store.
So it depends on the weight allowances and so forth. But generally, it's not. If he gives you a car for work back and forth, in order for the employer to not have to pay you, you should not be responsible for maintenance, parking fees, or gas. So if he's giving you a car and he's making you pay for all that, then you probably still are going to be able to be compensated if you take a deviation from your typical routine in and from work. So.
I have a question. You guys, can we talk about your new golf cart real quick?
Oh, yeah.
How big is that thing?
Oh, yeah. It's a street legal. You know, I was watching the news last night, and now there's a city ordinance now being proposed to allow people to drive their regular golf carts on the street. Uh-huh. This is a low-speed vehicle, what we purchased for our office. And the reason why we got it is because we're a few blocks from the courthouse, and during the summer it can get awfully hot. And by the time you walk to the courthouse, you're sweating a lot. And you're sweating again on the way back, and you're carrying, you know,
lugging files
and briefcases.
Presentation matters.
Presentation stuff. And, you know, we have a lot of depositions, and our clients, we don't want them to have to walk long distances during the summer especially. So we purchased what they call a low-speed vehicle golf cart. It doesn't go over 20 miles an hour. It's got, you know, it's got a rear view. It's got a camera, rear camera, rear view camera. It's got, you know, lights, horns, blinkers, and it's really nice.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, wow, man, those guys are really doing it up.
It's really cool because, we've got two buildings downtown. We're in two offices, and it helps move stuff back and forth. And it's cool. And we've had to go to the police station this week to pick up some accident reports, and it was helpful for that. And it's a cool thing. And because downtown's becoming kind of a cool place now, and I think this is, you know, you're going to be seeing a lot more of them.
Well, and it makes things, you know, easier and more convenient for the client, too.
And parking, no parking problems.
Right. There you go.
Drop people off, bring them back.
Yeah, because they can park in our lot, and then wherever they need to go for depositions or hearings, they'll take the golf cart.
Just another advantage of Farrah and Farrah, farrahandfarrah.com. Go ahead and get those phone calls in, on the phone lines, 904-340-1045, 904-340-1045. Appreciate you sticking with us to the Consumer Law Hour right here, News 104.5 WOKV. Eddie and Chuck Farrah here in the studio with us. Phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. We have a phone call, Becky in Fernandina. Becky, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey,
good
Becky.
Afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Becky.
Hi there.
You were talking about vaping?
I am going to share a little bit of my understanding in some of the vaping that is going on these days. My son had the opportunity to get involved in the mechanics of it with a friend of his who used to open up the vape box and make the mechanism available to make the smoke cloud bigger. So in vaping, it's not only just to use it as a smoke, but it's also used in the younger crowd as a competition tool.
What do you mean a competition tool?
They vape to make clouds or rings or just different things, and people learn how to take the lithium-ion battery and can make, I'm not sure of the total mechanics of it, but they can make a larger battery in the system to where it will make more force with the cloud. This is not regulated.
Wow.
Anyone can go in to a box, a pen, and change things around to where it could explode.
So they're fortifying the batteries? Are they making them, I mean, are they getting new batteries and putting them in the device?
Or absolutely. Anyone can. And you could buy it online if you had any knowledge, which doesn't take much knowledge. It's not rocket science, to move a couple of wires around to make the
more
ignition
yeah.
button and to change things around. Who's to say that this gentleman, and this is awful to hear, this just got to my heart because I know people who do this, and I know people who move things around. And so who's to say that this didn't happen and where this mechanism wasn't changed? And, of course, now the battery companies are going to be blamed because someone, you know, and I don't think that that would be right there. You've got to take responsibility in seeing, okay, if these devices were manipulated to enhance whatever, the better smoke, the better cloud, the better, you know, system, then we've got to figure out the responsibility also there.
Well, it depends on the warnings.
Is that what you said happened in St. Petersburg?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, I thought maybe you thought
he had... when I called, where was this at?
But, you know, it depends on the warnings.
Batteries that are in people's pockets and are exploding might have been worked on to allow
enhance,
competition with.
Yeah, to enhance them.
Enhance.
Yeah. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I didn't know that was going on. I know, I didn't know they were enhancing them like that, but you're right. That could have been, so yeah, I mean, if they're enhancing them, then, I mean, again, the responsibility of the manufacturer would be diminished because, I mean, that's not what they sold them.
These boxes are being made online, Google Vape Cloud, and these boxes are being made to have different designs on them. It's coming into someone's house to have just a worker, and I know this because it is some of my friends who receive these boxes in. They want it put with this size of a battery, and they want it to enhance because they have competition that they're going to in the next couple of days.
Mm.
So you're trusting someone who is just out of high school or, you know, maybe they have a degree, maybe they don't.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Becky.
Work
yeah, I think we got okay. I think we got it. I mean, that's interesting. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, you have to look at, was it, you know, altered in any way, you know, and that's, I'm sure, I don't know at this point after it explodes if they can tell that or not, but I haven't heard really much about it after this incident happened. I guess we'll find out.
904-340-1045, 904-340-1045. If you want to get a phone call, and you are listening to the Consumer Law Hour brought to you by Farrah and Farrah each and every Saturday at noon right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome to the Consumer Law Hour right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I'm having some headphone issues today.
That's all right.
But that intro wasn't playing for too long, was it?
No. You're okay, Tim. We got you covered, man.
All right. Well, it's good.
It's good to listen to.
We got Scott backing you up today.
That's good. I was at the Hurricane Expo, and I forgot to bring my headphones, so I'm borrowing Mr. Jacob Pickering's. But nonetheless.
Hurricane Expo. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I was surprised that you guys weren't there, honestly.
I can't wait to go to the Hurricane Expo.
It was a lot of
Come
fun.
Come on, man. Yeah. All right.
Steve in Blacka. Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Do they have like a ride there, like that ride, that tornado ride?
No, I know what you're talking about because they have one of those in Mosh downtown.
Oh, I thought maybe it was like that ride at Universal.
No, they had...
Where you're in a tornado or whatever it is.
You know, the First Alert Weather team was giving presentations. There were some roofing companies out there.
Oh, of course.
They had a kids play zone. You know, fun for the whole family. Good. Steve in Palatka.
Generator salesman.
Yes.
Okay.
Steve, how are you?
Doing fine.
What can we help you with today?
Well, I heard you talking about the tire situation, and I had a situation that happened to me about a month and a half ago that I thought I'd call in and tell your listeners about because it's something that really was brought to light. My car was wobbling real bad. I took it into the shop, and they said the tire was starting to separate. So I went ahead and changed the tire. The tire was only 3 years old and had 20,000 miles. It was an 80,000-mile tire. So I didn't think too much about it. 3 weeks later, I was on interstate, and my tire totally shredded. Another tire. They rotated my tires. The tire totally shredded on the interstate. I just barely avoided an accident. I was fine. Did $2,500 damage to car. Found out that tire was made in 2009. I bought it new in 2015.
Yes.
And here we are, 2018.
That's exactly what we're talking
about.
Steve,
you hit the nail on the head. Thanks for sharing that. So the tire you purchased, I tell you, you know what? You should go back. Did you go back to the dealership? They need to be responsible for that.
I did. I went back to the dealership.
It's now dated tire. Go ahead.
And the other two tires that were on the car were dated 2010, sold the same time. I had all four tires put on. So they were 5 years old when they were sold to me. So I did. They put me in touch with their regional manager. It was a chain, a well-known chain. Put me in touch with their regional manager who basically asked me for proof of where I rotated the tires every 5,000 miles, which I'll be honest, I did not have proof that I rotated the tires every 5,000. I think I rotated them twice in that 20,000 miles. But rotation should have nothing to do with that tire separating.
Exactly.
Like
that's an age, it's an age issue. They sold you a tire that was too old.
Yeah, they degrade.
The one that shredded on the interstate was actually the one that was on the back of the car, which would have had less wear on it than on the front of the car. He did end up changing the last two tires. I had to pay $500 deductible on insurance. It did $2,300 damage to my car. But he was very abstinent that it was because of, not having records of rotating the tires. And at that point, I mean, where do you carry it? I know I probably could have battled further, but where do you carry that? The main thing is a safety issue. I could have been injured badly on the interstate. Oh, and also, when they repaired the car and put a new tire on the front car, that company, a whole different company, got a tire in, and I went and picked the tires up. It was 4 years old, that tire they were putting on there. So they ordered another tire. It was 4 years old when it came in, so they finally got another tire that was only a year and a half old.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's scary, and this was a whole different company. So
are these big – I mean, I don't want to know the names, but are these like chains or like big companies, or are they individually owned?
The first company is a big chain. The second company that did the work is a small company that's been there for many years. I mean, it's not a it's a well-known reputable company, and I guess they get these tires. Well, it was explained to me they get these tires from some of the same distributors, and they don't know. And they even requested that they send a tire that's not dated more than 2 years old, but they still sent them one that was 4 years old.
How did you determine the age? You looked at the DOT number?
Looked at the DOT number.
Okay.
And actually, it was put on the inside of the car, so I had to crawl up under there to look because a lot of times they'll turn them around where you don't see the DOT number on the outside.
Yeah,
of
you're
course.
Right. Yeah, of course. That's a good point.
I would,
point.
Too.
So, yeah, I could have been injured on that interstate. Luckily, I mean, it just totally shredded off. As a matter of fact, the tire still had air in the tire when it shredded off. The tire itself was still good. It's just the tread just totally disintegrated because of the
Because they start, they degrade over time, sitting in hot warehouses. They just kind of, it's rubber,
Yeah.
But everybody deteriorates from a health standpoint. That could have been. There are a lot of accidents every year. Matter of fact, I talked to a lawyer from a website out of Atlanta, and he advised me to do the same thing you're doing, which I did. I did everything on that. But for $500, how much time do I want to spend?
Exactly. No, but what you did today was a great service. I mean, if people are listening, I mean, from now on, when I get new tires, the first thing I'm looking at is the DOT number.
Yep.
I didn't know it was that prevalent. I mean, I guess even these big chains, they got tires sitting around. And they're trying to move the inventory.
These chains don't stock the tires. They have to order the tires. They get them from two or three distributors in the area.
Yeah, but somebody's holding on to them. You would think the inventory wouldn't stick around that long, but even for a chain, I guess maybe certain times, maybe you have a unique type of vehicle where they don't sell that many tires. I don't know.
Make fewer.
Yeah. Make fewer tires.
Yeah, because they're trying to get rid of their inventory, so they're sitting around. Yeah.
Yeah, and that chain does not stock these tires now. They order them from a supplier. It's not their chain.
Well, they all come from overseas. They're not. I don't think any of them are made here anymore. So they could be in China sitting around for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Sure, exactly. You don't know the climate and the conditions. And that was what the regional manager explained to me, is that, they're kept in climate controlled warehouses.
Right.
And the rubber doesn't disintegrate.
Oh, yeah. Well, read everything about it. You're an expert on it. They do fall apart. But thanks for that story. I appreciate it. It's very helpful. It's good. It's good to see real world, things happening. I mean, sometimes we look at this because I've really never had anybody tell me, "Hey, I've got an old tire that blew up." I read about them, I hear about them, and I hear what everybody's saying. But here's a real story that happened to somebody.
Well, it's not really common knowledge, though.
Yeah, people
just don't know.
I know. Yeah, a lot of people do not know. And until I read the article, I did not know either. So,
well, no, when you buy a set of four tires for $600, you expect them to be new.
Yeah,
I mean, you bought them new.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say they're new. They've never been on the ground. You expect them to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a shelf
life.
You
didn't go buy a used tire, which I've done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At least you know you're getting a used tire.
Right.
You look at that one. That's probably 20 years old. Yeah. If it's used.
Thank the injury lawyers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I just buy used tires, though, for $20. I'm sure they're more expensive now. But
no, there's people in town there are businesses that sell only used tires here in town. A lot of people we get questions all the time about asking us, what's the liability for people who enter my property to hunt, fish, or for other recreational purposes? Let's say you have a piece of property over there up in Live Oak on the Suwannee River. You got a rope swing and you own that property. Kids come over, they use the swing, or maybe you've got just a bunch of land and people are hunting on it. Maybe you've got a big pond on your property and they're fishing on it. What is your liability under Florida law if somebody gets hurt? The law is pretty clear on that, Tim. Florida statute 375.251, it covers limitation on liability of persons who make available to the public certain areas for recreational purposes. And here's the key, without charge. If you do not charge, you basically have immunity for someone who is hurt on your property who is using it for recreational purposes. Under the statute, the landowner is not responsible for keeping the park area or land safe for entry or use by others, or for giving warning of any hazardous conditions, structures, or activities on the property to people who are going back and forth on the land. So you have no duty to warn, no duty to repair or fix or change a hazardous condition. They're basically on your property, and it's whatever happens and I mean, unless you do something purposely. I mean, there's always an exception to that. Unless what you do is deliberate or willful, you shoot somebody on your property, that's not, you're going to be held responsible for that. But generally, if somebody comes onto your land that you don't charge for, and it's a sort of a recreational activity, then you have no liability. For instance, if an alligator comes up, bites off your leg, you have no responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. Unlike the situation that we saw in Orlando, a couple of years back.
Yeah, so, Disney World.
Yeah, Disney World, I mean.
Because they were charging.
Yeah, they're charging. So it's all about charging. And as long as you don't charge, you have no responsibility for any outdoor recreational purposes. Very important. And that's the rule in most states, as a matter of fact.
They're playing flag football on your yard.
Yep. If recreational purposes, it's a, pretty much, You're free. You have no liability. But other thing is, I know a lot of people it's summertime. People are taking cruises, and we kind of do this every year, kind of talk about what you should and should not do when you're on a cruise. But one of the main things to be able to look out for is if you become ill on a boat, and remember that the doctor that is treating you on the boat most of the time is not, he's a foreign national. He's probably not from here. And that the cruise lines consider the doctor an independent contractor, which means they really don't have any responsibility if he makes a medical mistake or does something wrong. And a lot of people, you know, try to get around that. The only way you can get around that is if you can show that the cruise liner hired someone that shouldn't be practicing medicine on the boat. And that's the only way you can get around that. And that's, sometimes that's very difficult to do. Tough. And you remember, these guys are foreign nationals, so you want to sue the doctor, can't sue the cruise line. You got to know where he's at. I mean, he probably doesn't have any insurance. He's probably he could be living in Central America, South America, Europe. Don't even know where he's living, basically. You have to find him and then determine whether or not he has any insurance coverage. Most of them do not. And so really, these cruise lines have basic immunity when it comes to the medical care that is being performed on the boat, on the ship. And it saves them money. I mean, maybe that's why, you know, you have to look at, it's all a cost. I guess they could have their own doctor there under their employment, but that's going to cost a lot more money because they got malpractice insurance. And if it's a U.S. doctor, they probably got to pay them a lot more money to sit on the boat, you know, for the next, you know, 365 days a year.
Yeah.
So the way they get around that, the way they keep the prices low is, okay, we're going to hire a foreign national. He's not going to have any malpractice insurance. He's going to work for a lot less money, and we don't have any liability. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, medical malpractice cases, you know, you're dealing with humans. I mean, people's lives. These cases can end up being huge damages. I mean, these could be multi-million dollar cases. And so businesses, as we know, try to, you know, insulate themselves from that kind of exposure. And this is how they do it on the cruise lines. And everyone I've seen is like this. Maybe somebody else has a different perspective, or maybe has heard something different. But typically, that's the situation when it comes to getting medical treatment. Also, when you're on the boat, they can leave. If you're like in a bad medical condition, they don't have to keep you on the boat. They can just drop you off wherever you're at. I mean, you could be in a third world country at the port, and they say, listen, you're not getting back on the boat, and you're gone, and you're here, and you got to sort of fend for yourself. So I know there are people that purchase health insurance that works, you know, when you're overseas. That's probably something you want to consider if you're on a cruise somewhere. And if you feel like, you know, you've got something may happen. The other thing you want to remember about these shore excursions is that, or shore excursions, that if something happens, even though you're not on the boat and you're on the island, there are ways to hold the cruise line responsible for that. Just because you're on an island away from the boat doesn't mean they have no responsibility.
Now, what if you buy? So with the excursions, you can buy them on the boat, which is a little bit more expensive. I've learned cruise is probably taking a commission on that. But then you can buy the same excursions off the boat. Does that impact whether or not the cruises?
Yeah, you have to look at the relationship between the two. Just because you buy it off the boat doesn't mean the ship may not be responsible. It depends on the relationship they have behind the scenes.
Yeah, if they're promoting it, you know, and
if they're promoting it, regardless of whether or not
it could be. Yeah, I'm not really sure, but I would think that if they're promoting it, then they're probably part of the responsibility.
And remember, when you're on the boat, they have limitations on your baggage claims. $50 per bag, which is nothing. I mean, what is that? Again, pair of shorts and a total of $100 per cabin. Uh-huh. That's even worse. That's like one sock, not even a pair of socks, and you divide it up among everybody. So again, these are things you need to be aware of. The other thing is they have an unlimited right to search your stateroom and your personal effects. They can go into your safe in your room. You have no constitutional rights when you're on the boat. If they feel something's going on, they can just come into your room without notice. They can search your personal effects, your cabin, your safe. And so those are kind of the things that you need to be aware of. They sound like fun, but there's always a downside.
Yeah.
I don't want to, So that's kind of what it is on the cruises. That's your sort of
pre-cruise warnings.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I love cruising though.
Oh, I know.
So much.
Yeah.
We'll be back. The phone lines are still open if you want to get a phone call in for the final segment of the Consumer Law Hour with Farrah and Farrah, 904-340-1045. Few minutes left here today with Farrah and Farrah. Taking this over to a phone call. We have Carl over on the west side. Thanks for calling in, man.
Carl?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes. My question is, my son was in prison up in Liberty County. Now, he was due out next year, but now he was told that he would be there for an additional 10 years because of his paperwork. He was charged 5 years for each account, but the judge told him he would do a total of 5 years instead of 15.
What? Come on.
Something, you got to.
You got to do something about that, Carl.
Right. Okay, now, I contacted the courts up in Liberty County there, and they referred me to the Georgia FBI, which referred me back to Liberty County. And I was trying to find out, how can I get a copy of the judge ruling?
Well, you can go to the courthouse and
the
get
courthouse
it. It's a public record. Go look up your son's file and see what's in the file.
Okay,
where is Liberty County?
Is it Georgia or Florida?
Oh, that's in Georgia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In Florida, you can go look at the file as a public record.
But I'm sure you can do that in Georgia.
Where's Liberty County?
What's the town near there?
The town... I would say that was Waynesboro, I believe.
Okay, because I know an attorney over there that you maybe can talk to.
Okay.
Why don't you leave your phone number with Scott? I'll give you a call on Monday and give you that in contact. I'm
getting Alan.
Alan can do it. I know somebody you can talk to about it.
Okay. Thank you, Dad. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Carl.
It's sad.
Oh, it happens. Believe me. You know. I mean, how many people are in jail that shouldn't be there? And not can, you know?
It's near where Alan practices.
We jail more people than what China and North Korea combined.
Yeah, man. Fill them up.
Big money.
It's all privatized now, too. So.
The Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Fair and Fair, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, each and every Saturday at noon, a free hour of legal advice. Go ahead and check out their website, farahandfarah.com, also social media, Instagram, Facebook, just search Farah and Farah. My name's Tim Tompkins. Shout out to Scott Kushner for producing the show. We have your news update coming up next. Look at your drive heading out to the beaches with Jacob Pickering.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.